This is a Defocus Media production. What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, resident optometry nerd.
And welcome to Defocus Media, optometry's number one podcast, where we discuss the hottest topics, latest technology, eyewear, practice management, and more. So sit back, relax, and defocus.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us for a new episode of the Defocus Media Podcast. It feels like normal times because I'm not only podcasting with Rib, I'm sitting beside a fellow optometrist. First time podcasting though, right?
Yeah, okay. First time podcasting.
Definitely not her first time talking to me about some really nerdy topics, which is what we're going to do this evening. As the science of contact lenses is something that's really fascinating to me. And of course, we had to bring on an expert guest to go into some of this science. So please welcome to the show, Dr. Kurt Moody.
Hey, Jen. Hey, Joanna. Thank you. Thanks for being here. And your same thing on my end. This is my first time doing a podcast. Really looking forward to it.
It's my job then to lead you guys all through this safely and soundly. Make sure you have a wonderful first experience. Keep coming back for more. Before we dig into this topic, I did want to say thank you to our sponsor, Johnson & Johnson Vision, for making this podcast happen. We are so thankful for all of our sponsors and supporting our show. It is a labor of love, and it's something that we love bringing you guys great information every single night. And so, Dr. Moody, you're also the Director of North America Professional Education at Johnson & Johnson Vision.
I am, yep. So, you know, I've been doing that really almost from the start of COVID. But I probably did some education even prior to that, because for 13 years prior to that, I was in R&D. So my roles in R&D were pretty varied. You know, I worked in our claims group, which is creating those studies for anything that would substantiate any claims that we're making on our current products. But most importantly was the work that I did in regards to the development of products. So I led the teams that created one day AccuVue Moist for Astigmatism. And then my biggest accomplishment was the creation of one day AccuVue Moist Multifocal, for which I won the Johnson Award. So very much like you, I guess I consider myself a little bit of a nerd too, when it comes to anything in regards to contact lens design or materials. So definitely this topic is near and dear to my heart.
Well, Dr. Ryan, tell us a little bit about yourself and your practice.
Yeah, so I'm currently in a private practice in Knightdale, North Carolina, called the Eye Institute. And so I just started there in January. So I'm the new kid on the block there, but kind of do a mix of everything, breaking into a little bit of specialty contacts right now, which is more the scary part of me trying to be a contact nerd a little bit, but it's pretty good.
What's so funny is, so Joanna and I have been friends for a while now, but one of our other really good friends was a contact lens specialist at her practice, and he recently left for a different opportunity. And so now, kind of by force of reason, you needed to put on the hat of contact lens specialist. Mm-hmm. And so you've gotten more than your fair share of contact lens exposure in the past couple of months. Yes. So we're going to dig into these experiences as we talk about some of the science tonight. And that's really, you know, when we're talking about the importance of this topic before the show started, Dr. Moody, I think our patients are heavily marketed to that all contact lenses are the same, that contact lenses are interchangeable. If you look at some of the really horrifying comments that the FTC director made when the recent contact lens rule was reported, many of our legislators have the strong impression that contact lenses are interchangeable and there's no differences between them besides a name that's slapped on. And that's entirely inaccurate. And understanding as doctors the science of what makes each contact lens material and design different is just really essential to what we do when we prescribe a contact lens. But we need to think further than that. Our patients clearly need to be educated and understand what's special about their lens design.
Yeah, 100% aligned with you. And I think, you know, we as a profession have to take some responsibility to that. I think we have not done our due diligence, quite frankly, in tapping ourselves on the back. The art of prescribing a contact lens, as we all know, takes a lot of education, a lot of knowledge. Each of us, when we're making that decision, we put an awful lot into that thought process. But I don't think that we explain that well to our patients, everything we're doing. So, you know, I'm hoping that tonight's little podcast gives everybody a little bit of information and data that we could all become a little bit better at doing that.
Well, I want to just dive right into picking your brain. So what are the big main principles that go into a comfortable contact lens wearing experience?
Yeah, and great question. You know, when I joined the group back in February of last year, one of the things I kind of brought over to provide professional education was, you know, that body of information that I learned from just some incredibly great engineers on the R&D side. And I came up with what we're calling four pillars that are responsible for comfort in contact lenses. And they're all based on really great clinical evidence out there. And I kind of break it down into two major groups. I've got mechanical considerations and I've got material considerations. So those mechanical considerations would be the edge design and the modulus of a lens. And then when I think about my material considerations, it's the wettability, but more importantly, the on-eye wettability, along with the coefficient of friction or how lubricious materials are. So that's what we're kind of considering, those four pillars of comfort: edge design, modulus, coefficient of friction, and wettability.
So we're going to dig into each one of those categories. I think the most approachable topic and something that doctors see play out in the exam room is edge design. So talk a little bit, because I mean, AcuVue's calling card, I feel like, is their invisible edge design.
Exactly. And it goes to the idea that you have to consider the fact that the average patient blinks 12 to 14,000 times per day. So 12 to 14,000 times, the edge of that contact lens is going to bump into that lid wiper area, whether it's the upper or the lower. And we know from the data, from great data that's out there, when you start to get these little micro abrasions to that lid wiper area, that creates dryness and discomfort. So with all that in mind, we wanted to create a contact lens edge that mimicked the eye, meaning you had that nice tapered appearance. And if you look at our edge, our invisible edge, it actually reminds you of that corneal conjunctival barrier coming together. So we're trying to mimic the eye. And you're going to hear me say that over and over again. What we're trying to do is mimic what nature has given us. And if I could create that environment that's as close to nature, we're going to get a contact lens that's as good as, or maybe even better than the natural eye. So that's what that invisible edge is. Something that's going to be so nice and smooth that it's almost non-existent to that lid wiper area.
I think for doctors, this is easy for us to feel because the patient puts the lens on and they can feel that immediate difference. So if you've ever had a patient that for whatever reason had a thin edge and you were changing to a different product because of another issue and that edge didn't feel the same, that's the person where they're like, they haven't even had a chance to take the lens home yet. And they're already telling you they hate it. Yeah. And that's the edge.
Yeah, I can feel it. I can feel it all around is what you hear. Feel all the edges.
So I know if that's happened to you, what do you feel like your chance for success is for
Yeah, they're not going to take it home. If they don't like it within the first 2 minutes sitting in your chair, they're not going to bother taking it home. Nobody wants to say, you have to break these in like a pair of shoes. That's not what patients want to hear.
If you're wearing a hard lens, I'll throw that out. I've not used that for a soft contact lens before.
Soft lens, shouldn't have that. Scleral, RGP, sure. Soft lens, no.
You know, they're
not expecting that.
Let me share with you, and I'm going to steal this from another doctor who told me this, because this is what he tells his patients. He tells them, yeah, we've got this invisible edge. And he says, you know, if you're out riding your bicycle and you come to an intersection, and some of the intersections now have these really nice ramped up intersections where you go up onto the sidewalk and it's nice and smooth. And he tells them that's an invisible edge. Now, other contact lenses have these blunt edges. And a blunt edge is like when you come to those curbs on your bicycle and it doesn't have that ramp and you have to bump your bike up over the curb. He says, how would you feel if you had to bump it up 12 or 14,000 times in a day? He said, you'd be pretty sore. He said, so that's the reason I want to give you this lens that's got an invisible edge.
That makes perfect sense. I actually, as soon as you said that about the bicycle, my elbow started. I tried to do that only a few years ago as an adult. And I did not realize you have to like pull your bike up to do those bumps. I ate pavement pretty hard. So yes. You don't want your eyelid to do that. So you mentioned lid wiper epitheliopathy. This is something in clinical practice that I think is extremely underdiagnosed. One being that when you are in the middle of a comprehensive eye exam, pulling out some lissamine green stain while I know it's only a few seconds, it seems like that's a lot to do. Mm-hmm. Are you staying for
Not without complaints that often. No.
Yeah.
Well, and also, if you ever get green on their face, I have to go to work.
Listerine doesn't come off.
No,
yeah, it doesn't. Not a good dye that you want to get on anything. but I will say, I do also lid aversion, right? On a standard eye exam where patients aren't having complaints, people really don't like to have their lid all the way averted. Mm-hmm. I understand there's major clinical value, but what I try to do is take just a little baby peek.
Yeah.
I'll just lift the eyelid up a little bit, not totally avert. Mm-hmm. And if you see a lot of injection right there, then I almost know there's some lid wiper issues without doing a full aversion and some stain. And immediately I'm thinking, okay, let's look at a different edge design on the lens.
And you know what? I practiced 22 years before I joined J&J. One of the things I always did, and I always try to tell my interns this, tell your patients what you're doing and why you're doing it. Mm-hmm. Because so often we get in that routine. Yeah, we're flipping the lid. We're looking for lid wiper epitheliopathy. We're making our notes. But more importantly, we've got to make sure we're telling our patients what we're doing and why we're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And especially before you go pulling on any lids. I think we've all had the situation where we're like about to avert and there's a jump from the chair. We got to tell them first. So I think we can all very easily say, and very easy to explain this to a patient when mm-hmm. they're talking about contact lens comfort, or you're seeing these signs in the rim. Hey, we need to change you to an edge, a lens edge that's so thin that your eyelid can just glide right over. Patients can easily grasp that concept. Some of these other material changes or differences, I think, are a little bit harder for patients to understand. So let's talk about coefficient of friction, because that's a term that gets thrown around with lens design, but may be a little harder for us to talk to patients about.
It is. So, you know, so coefficient of friction was originally developed probably about 10 to 12 years ago. And it came actually out of the orthopedics world, because coefficient of friction was something that they had to do all the time as they were developing joints, because they had to make sure that joint had a very, very smooth or lubricious surface. So to be honest with you, we at J&J kind of jumped on this early, because we said, hey, you know, we got the same thing going on, because we have a contact lens and an eyelid. We probably should make sure that that front surface of that contact lens is very lubricious, so it slides over the eyelid and it becomes almost imperceptible. So that's where that whole term started to come from. And a group in Switzerland known as Surface Solutions were the ones that did an incredible amount of work in creating that. So, you know, really it is just how lubricious, how smooth that surface is. And the goal when we're developing a material is to create a material that has an incredibly low coefficient of friction, so it's almost imperceptible. But also, what's that coefficient of friction throughout the course of the day? Because we know that as we start to get deposits on the lens, that could, depending on the material, affect coefficient of friction. So not only what it is out of the package, but what is it throughout the course of the day? And, you know, some great work was done by one of our researchers about 5 years ago. She actually measured the coefficient of friction of the cornea. The work was so groundbreaking that it was actually published in the peer-reviewed journal Cornea. So to get something in cornea is pretty difficult. And that finding was, she found out that the natural cornea is 0.015 in regards to the measurement for coefficient of friction. So it was a great value to have, because it gave everybody a goal to go after. Can you create a material that's the same as the cornea or maybe better?
And then I know you guys have also looked at studies with coefficient of friction. Like you said, as you wear the lens, it maybe would slow down. So as a person's blinking, they get over the edge smoothly, but then if the blink has any resistance, that's going to make your eyes feel more tired, more uncomfortable at the end of the day. But you guys have studies on Acuvue One Day Moist Material showing even 18 hours later, that coefficient of friction is staying very low.
Yeah. So we looked both at One Day Oasis and One Day Moist. And just like you said, throughout the course of an 18-hour simulated wear schedule, both stay remarkably low. And approach the natural cornea. Actually, One Day Acuvue Oasis stays at or below the natural cornea throughout 18 hours, Moist just a tiny bit above. And I think most of us say, you know, throughout the course of a day, One Day Oasis probably more comfortable than Moist, but both really good.
an 18 hour wear, I never tell my patients that's going to be comfortable for that long. So that's incredible study data. All right, let's talk dryness, because this is well documented. The biggest reason that people fall out of contact lens wear, have trouble adapting to contact lens wear, but it's not just adults. I think all of us that are practicing see dryness in kids at an alarmingly high rate. With screen time increase this year, we know that kids are suffering more than ever. And if you were symptomatic as an adult already, it probably only got worse this year. So what's in a contact lens design to try to address dryness?
So that really, what you want to try to do is you want to look at wettability, but on eye wettability. Now, the way we've attacked it, and it's kind of interesting because I think we actually end up getting two benefits. It comes from our PVP. So our internal wetting agent is a very, very unique wetting agent that provides that great wettability for those 18 hours. Because part of the question is, what did you do to your material that could create that very low coefficient of friction and create this great wettability? And it's our PVP. It's a very unique molecule that has entities in it that make it both hydrophilic and lipophilic. So water-loving and lipid-loving, which, hey, that's our tears, right? So that's, I think, what's creating that great wettability. And in addition to improved comfort, it's giving you improved vision, because anything that we do that gives us that robust tear film helps vision-wise too.
And there's so many different lenses, right? There's all these different ways that companies are trying to solve the dryness problem. Some lenses have a PVP just top coat versus set into the lens itself. And so y'all's approach, it's tied into the whole lens material throughout.
It is. It's really twofold. One, yeah, we mix it in with the monomer, so it's throughout the entire lens. And also it's PVP of one molecular length. So our long chain PVP, which is called K90, is the molecular length of the chain, and it's consistent throughout the entire lens. Other companies have taken the approach of, they can't put PVP in their lens, so they put NVP, which is a precursor of PVP, and they hope that during the polymerization process, it turns into PVP. And it does, but some are short term, or short chain, some are mid chain, and some are long chain. So you're not getting the consistent wettability across the surface. So having a consistent K90 throughout the entire lens gives you consistent wettability.
So what's been your experience in practice with, if a patient has dry eye, or what lenses are you going to?
I'm pulling a daily every time.
Yeah.
So not always the same daily. And, sometimes they'll have a preference, but I have patients that really are just diehard. I really want to be in a monthly. And if, sometimes I have to let them try it and just show them, that maybe that's not the best choice for you, because if you're getting dryness midway, or my lens is uncomfortable halfway through the month, that kind of thing. But I always try and go with a daily. You have a fresh lens every day, you get that fresh new lens, it holds its moisture, and then you're done. And I think that takes a lot of the kind of guesswork out of how long is the moisture going to stay in this monthly. Because for your non-dry eye patient, sure, it'll be fine. But for a lot of those people that have where they're that borderline dry eye, where it's enough that they can feel their lenses and they start to do that extra blinking, I feel like they're only going to be successful in a daily, and more of a higher tier daily too. We're not just going you can't just go buy your random ones off the internet, the older materials. You need something a little bit more advanced.
I mean, 100% of the time, I always tell people, I kind of to it as a graduating style, right? Especially on a new wearer who has no idea. They're most of their questions to me when we start is about price. I'm like, okay, let's not talk about price. Let's talk about what we want to get out of the lens first. Here are your monthlies, 2 week. Here are your dailies mm-hmm. on comfort. So if a comfortable lens is what we're looking for, that's the scale we need to be picking from. And then within dailies, obviously there are a ton of different products out there. Price varies wildly between these products. And I think there's a lot of pros and cons in the daily disposable market. One of the pros is they're incredibly comfortable. They're much safer and healthier for the eye. One of the cons is I think it really invites the all lenses are created equal. I get to pick whatever lens I want. And the kind of conveyor belt
right.
machine feeling like I can just pick a button and pick whatever one I feel like today.
Right.
Educating, I think, the differences between lenses and dailies may be more important than any other yes. modality type, right. because there's the biggest misconception that like, oh, well, this one's cheapest at Walmart. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Colin changed your prescription to this Walmart version. I'm like, nope, that one doesn't have any of the science that we talk about that your eyes need. And it makes you explaining that on the front end so important.
And all they hear is daily though. So when they go, so a lot of times I tell them there's tiers of daily. If you don't have any problems, we can start here. And then if you are a dry eye patient, we're going to keep going up until we find it. So maybe you do end up in a little bit more expensive daily, but if you're not throwing in drops, if you can get a full day of wear and you don't have to always back up into your glasses when you don't want to, then that price is worth it. But yeah, if you don't have any problems, sure, we can start you in a little bit more of kind of what I call like the middle range dailies, where we don't maybe need to jump all the way to like a one day oasis where we get something where we know that you're going to have a little bit better comfort. Maybe we can start a little bit different. But I think that's part of it too, is just telling there's different layers. It's not, because I feel like I throw out the statement a lot to my patients that dailies are the best thing for you. And then it is one of those where you have to kind of backpedal a little bit, because all they heard was, well, she said I could wear any daily lens and I saw these on an ad on Instagram, right. and I'm just going to get those. Because right. I had that recently.
Yeah. It's, we have to unfortunately think that our patients are going to be advertised to and be tempted to try something other than what we prescribe. So you've got to head that conversation off with your in-office education before they ever see that ad. And don't wait until, they're not going to call it. If they see an ad for a contact lens online, they're not going to call you and ask you about it. They're just going to hit buy if they don't know already about it. All right, let's talk about lens modules, because this is actually, to me, the most interesting and so person to person. So I want to get the scientific perspective on it, but how important is lens modulus to successful contact lens experience?
You know, the way I look at modulus, and as I mentioned up front, you know, modulus is what I'm considering a mechanical consideration. And I usually don't consider the mechanical considerations in isolation. You know, I really want to kind of think of them in combination. So I'm thinking about what's that interaction of the modulus and the edge design, because they interact so much. So modulus being how stiff or maybe how soft a contact lens is. Lowest modulus being Etafil Kane being moist. You know, then you get to something like Oasis, and a lot of the silicone hydrogels are probably right around that 100, 110, maybe 120. And a lot of times I'm asked, is there much of a difference between something like Oasis that's about 98 and another lens that's 110. And that's why I said, don't think about it in isolation, think about it together. Because I think the best combination, as far as having the least interaction on your lid wiper, is a low modulus with an invisible edge. So when you get to something that's got a modulus of, let's say, 98, but has an invisible edge, I give that a little bit of a thumbs up over something that's almost the same modulus, but has a round or a blunt edge. Because they're gonna work together. They're not, very similar to like when we talk about dryness, it's multidimensional. Well, the same thing with mechanical design, it's multidimensional.
I think in my head, I always think a lower modulus lens is going to be more comfortable, right? It's like softer, it's flimsier, it's the most barely there.
But if it gets too low, it's floppy.
It's floppy, right?
Yeah.
And so here's where I think contact lenses are truly not one thing is right for everybody, because I have some patients who what's comfortable to them is an extremely high modulus lens, and they need something really stiff that holds its shape. And if it is all floppy, they do not like it. And as a industry, I think we have gone to thinner and thinner and softer lenses, which for the overwhelming majority of patients are more comfortable. But there are always going to be those patients out there that just really like something with the high modulus. So I do love, you know, even in the Acuvue product line, you've got an extremely low modulus lens and Acuvue One Day Moist. And if someone tells me, you know what, this lens flops around too much, I have a hard time getting in and out. Well, I can absolutely refit you to something that they will be able to feel that texture difference right away in Oasis One Day.
Yeah, you've got to find that sweet spot. So for those of you, and I know it's not either of you, that we remember when the first silicone hydrogel lenses came on the market, they had a really high modulus. Mm-hmm. And you know, this is going back in the late 90s, and they had to be reformulated to bring the modulus down because it was too high, because they were too stiff. And you get something that's too stiff, we start getting mechanical problems with the eyelid. You start seeing that resurrection of giant papillary conjunctivitis. You could get some little epithelial splits. So that happened in that early generation of silicone hydrogels. they were reformulated to start to get down into that sweet spot where we are now.
So that's interesting. And this, you know, your perspective, do you feel like their modulus plays a factor in giant papillary conjunctivitis above and beyond like lipid collections on the surface of a lens?
I would say, I don't think we see, I mean, we're fortunate because we dropped down below what we were originally getting. So again, in only in those very, very rare, really sensitive patients, maybe that have such a poor tear quality, you're going to start to see some of those mechanical issues.
Gotcha. I was telling you actually earlier a story about, so this is a modulus story, just happened to me on Monday. A new wearer, he was in his early 40s, presbyope, hyperopic. So wearing contact lenses for the very first time. And when he had come in last year for his exam, we tried a lot of different lenses. He just wanted part-time, distance only for golfing, things like that. And we tried so many different brands of dailies. And he ended up purchasing something with a year supply. And then he came back to me this year and he said, you know what? I have so many of those lenses left over. I just really didn't like them. And then I found this lens online. Have you heard of it? It's called Hubble. And I love it. It's the best contact lens I've ever had. And I was like, literally my eyes about like popped out in a second.
He's also only had two lenses though.
Okay. So this man loves a high modulus lens. And so I explained to him this difference. I was like, you know what? For most of my patients, when they try a few things and they're not liking the comfort, I typically find something, a really thin lens, a barely there lens is what they like more. So that's what we went with last year. But you're telling me you like a lens with a lot of stiffness that doesn't have much give. I know exactly what we can do to give you that kind of quality. And we ended up refitting him to monthly multifocal lenses. And that gave him a better comfort. So here's an exception. Someone who doesn't really like dailies, he loves a good old thick lens.
Well, next time he comes in, though, you could try him with a 2-week multifocal, too.
Yeah, new lens. Well, I think sometimes they like the way it sits on their finger. I've had a lot of patients with the lower modulus lenses, yeah, where they keep trying to reset it on their finger, and it's flopping, and then they go and put it on, it flattens on their finger. So not so much your people that have been in contact since they were 12, yeah, mm-hmm, but a lot of newer wearers, especially the hyperopes, and they're having trouble seeing them, hyperopic presbyope, can't see them, then they're flattening, mm-hmm, on their finger. So sometimes I wonder if it's really as comfortable in the eye, or it's just easier for them to do. And so then they're just done with it.
So true. Yep. So this is why it's so great that we have options, that there are multiple lens options, multiple wear modalities. The science isn't showing us that for every single person, this is the one solution for a perfect lens. And I think if we ever get into the box of thinking like, this is my go-to lens, this is my perfect lens, we will fail. The majority of patients will probably be happy, but like you might have an 80% success rate where you could make almost 100% people happy if you were more willing to explore other options.
So we've got a great audience here, and I've got to share a story.
Yes.
You know, when we launched One Day Moist Multifocal, I was in Amsterdam, teaching people how to use the lens. And I had this optometrist there with me from the Netherlands, and she was fitting a patient. And I just leaned over to her. I said, just make sure that the lens is not inside out because of the low modulus with moist. Yeah. And she looked at it and she goes, no, the lens is blue. It's the right way. And I stopped what I was doing. I said, what do you mean it's blue? And she said, oh, yeah. She said, when you take AccuView lenses and if you hold them on your finger and if you look at them and if they're blue, they're the right way. And if they're inside out, they're almost invisible. And I said, no, they aren't. I said, you know, I've practiced all these years. I've been in an R&D. That's not true. And she said, yes, it is. Let me show you. And she said, everybody in the Nordics knows that. So scratch my head. Okay, I'm willing to learn something new. And I go back to R&D and I ask them. The optical engineers do a little work. And they said, that's true. Again, so many of us don't know that. But because of the blue in our lens and the internal reflection and the invisible edge, all AccuView lenses, when you have them on your finger, and if you look at the inside of the lens, as you would put it on your eye, and if it's blue, it's the right way. If you turn it inside out, it's almost invisible. And she said to me, everybody knows that here in Amsterdam and in the Nordics. And that's the way we teach patients because everybody could tell the difference between blue and clear. And I thought, what a great tip. And now, hey, we're in this audience. It's great to share something.
That is such a great tip. I've heard that a few years.
I never knew it.
I use it every time. It is, yeah, because especially with the low modulus lens, it is almost impossible for our patients to tell inside out. And so it's so great that because not every lens has that color effect, right? So this is something that makes your QD lens is very unique, that gives your patients an automatic way of seeing inside out before it gets on their eye and bothers them.
Absolutely unintentional.
Great job. Plus you guys also, you have the 1-2-3 where myopic people.
Well, but not only just, not just the myopic patient, it's for the, mainly for the clinicians, because when you have them with the slit lamp, I always just look for the 1-2-3.
Is this good affirmation? The other thing that with that modulus thing that I found, again, looking at the edges on any daily almost, it is impossible to see what's inside out lens with these days, with the edge being so thin. I love the taco test. I'm sure a lot of you guys are doing this. So if the, if you can push between your fingers and the lens tacos, it's good. If it doesn't want to come together, it's bad. Inside out, not bad. But that kids love that too. I love teaching that when we do INR. It just makes everybody happy and smile when they're getting frustrated about not being able to put their lens in.
When it's way easier because patients all the time will have it on their finger and go, "What do you think?" Oh, please, just let me just show you this.
Just don't taco.
Because they'll stick it right up next to my face. I'm like, okay, let's back it off a little bit and let's show you this because I'm not going to go home with you. So it makes it a little bit easier, but that is a fun little trick.
All right, let's talk about final take home because we've had a great discussion here about getting into science. So what do you think from today's conversation doctors really need to take away and put into their patient care tomorrow?
You know, I think it's take a couple of the technical attributes of the lens and make sure that as you're fitting the patient, you let them know about those technical attributes and let them know what is it that's unique about their eye, because we know everybody's eye is unique. What is it about unique about their eye that you're matching these special technologies for them to give them what you think is the best winning combination? Because all of a sudden, you know, when they get that bill and says, "Wow, my fitting fee was $125. They say, "I know what was involved in that $125. They looked at all these aspects of my eye and they knew all these technologies in this lens and they matched the right lens for my eye. And you know what? I'm very willing to pay that $125 because I see the value in it."
That is such a good practice management tip, Dr. Moody, because, you know, like you said, contact lens evaluations, I think most people managing patient care right now are charging separately for them. Insurances aren't reimbursing them. So if you aren't charging them, you're just not getting paid to do them. But we have to educate the value of them about why it's important, because many patients will come in and say, like, "Well, I already been fit for contact lenses. I don't need to be fit again." We absolutely make it clear, like, this is not a fitting. We're evaluating the specific parts of the health of your eye that the contact lens affects, and we're going to evaluate the science and technology of the lenses that you're in to maximize the technology available to enhance your vision. And when you put it like that, it's like, oh, okay. it's you're doing a lot of work, and just because we're trained and spending a lot of time with contact lenses every day and can make fast decisions to educate our patients doesn't mean there's a lot of technical knowledge and training that went into those faster decision-making skills.
That's right.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like I used to try and do it real quick on my feet and then think, oh, she really knows what she's doing because she grabbed that lens right away. And now I feel like I've had to back off of that because the whole, why do I need a prescription from you? I can go online and type in my glasses prescription, which is what I got from a patient last week. And I said, you can't do that. They'll check you. And he said, no, I do it every year. And I did get a fax, which kind of made me happy. But it is one of those where I used to feel like I was trying to do it the opposite way. I don't want them to know I'm thinking about this. It should be something that I just know how to do because I'm the doctor. And now I feel like it is one of those where the more you show them, it does help differentiate why they're asking you what contacts instead of just picking a random one out of a hat and, you know, getting the one on sale.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, so true. Another conversation that we had had prior to this is, are patients coming into your office, these are patients who are choosing to come to you at this point. If someone just wants their exact same prescription and they don't see any value in your exam and what you're doing, it's very easy for them to renew their prescriptions without seeing you at this point online. It's the honest reality. So you are giving a very important opportunity for people who are still open-minded to seeing a doctor. Make sure you give them a great experience, because you don't want to under-impress or underperform and have them think, well, you know, next year I'll probably just click that button that I'm seeing on my Instagram to get my same prescription again, because I don't think they really did anything last year. So each patient opportunity is so important that you're going above and beyond right now.
Especially when you ask them if they like their lenses and they say, yeah, sure, they're fine. I'll stay in them. And then I used to same thing, get in a hurry. Oh, they're fine. They said they liked them. I'm just going to change the numbers and keep moving. And now I've started the, oh, they're fine. Could they be better? Do you want to try some new technology? And then a lot of people, some people really just don't. It's like the, I'll stick with the old trusty. I don't care. But then you throw new technology at some people and they go, new technology, what do you have? And I like throwing that out there. And even if they decide they don't want the new technology, they don't want to pay for the little bit more new technology, at least they know it's out there. Yeah. And I found that that helps a lot too, because same thing, why am I paying you every year if I'm only getting the same exact thing every year?
Yep.
Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge, Dr. Mee. We had so many great comments from our listeners tuning in. I just wanted to give you a shout out from one of our audition friends. You were getting a lot of love online this evening. So if you guys are wanting to learn more about these lenses, I'm going to put up the link for you guys to learn more about the science that goes behind contact lens design. And stay tuned for the next episode, because you know we're going to keep bringing you great educational content, but have a lot of fun while we're doing it.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, colleagues, and it's a wrap. Thank you dearly for hanging out with the Defocus Media team. We hope truly something resonated with you. And if it did, be sure to give us 5 stars and make sure you follow us on all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, you named it. And our handle is at Defocus Media on all platforms. And until next time, be sure to keep it 2020, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode.